This morning, I want to introduce this concept to you with a video that I find quite entertaining. I hope you enjoy it.
Men, how many times has this happened to you?
To me. You know, our babies sleep really, really good.
Or this.
Make sure Timmy wears the blue shirt. If he doesn't.
Or even this.
And for my birthday, which is next month, I'd really like some of this.
Do you have trouble listening or retaining information from your wife? You could be suffering from spousal selective listening, or SSL. With SSL, valuable input is intercepted or scrambled before it reaches the critical learning center of the man brain. Virtually anything can trigger it, like sports, food, even shiny objects with buttons. Fortunately, there is help with Hirutol. Containing a rare root with an exotic name, Hirutol helps men focus and listen to valuable female input, even pick up on those subtle hints.
These are exactly the earrings I wanted. How did you know?
Thanks, Hirutol. Now I can hear it all.
Hirutol has not been tested or approved by any regulatory agency. Side effects with Hirutol include minor to severe headaches and spontaneous combustion. Use caution when using Hirutol near mothers-in-law, as you may hear hurtful comments that would have previously been ignored. Hirutol is an enhancement drug. Do not use around children or clusters of talkative old blue-haired women. If focused listening lasts longer than 4 hours, consult your doctor immediately before your wife assumes this is a new standard in your relationship. Men with wives who are nursing or pregnant should not take this product. Hirutol, the preferred selection or solution for selective hearing.
Anyone guilty? I don't know. I love the one where the guy is looking at her being static. So it's like, man, I'm like, I've been there. It's like the words are coming into my ears, but they don't make sense. You know? Today we're going to talk about what it means to learn to listen and how to listen. If this were a picture of me, I would like to think that the cogs and the wheels of my brain are all clicking, and they're all making connection, and, or in a more scientific way, all the synapses are firing. But the fact of the matter is that as men, especially, I can't speak for the other gender, but as men especially, there are a lot of things that keep me from being able to listen. And so today, we're not just going to talk about learning to listen. We're going to talk about learning to listen in a world of distractions. You know, last week we talked about our cell phones and how they, or devices, how they can keep us from communicating with our family. There are so many things in this life and in this world that can keep us from being able to focus. Our attention span is getting shorter and shorter. And so what we've got to learn how to do is how to block out all those things and learn to listen. The Bible has something to say about this, and so I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of James chapter 1. This should be one of my favorite verses, however, it's not. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading just two short verses. Here in James 1, starting in verse 19, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, I've been told all my life, you have 2 ears. So you should listen twice as much as you speak, right? Anyone else heard that? Yeah. That was my mother's favorite saying. For some reason, she said it all the time. And we find ourselves telling our son the same. I don't know why. But you know, this word here in the King James Version, it says, "Let every man be swift to hear." The word "hear" in the New Testament usually does not refer to an auditory experience. It's not talking about just hearing it, but rather it's talking about paying heed to what is being said. Listening. Okay? Listening. So as you listen to your spouse, you need to pay heed or take heed to what he or she is saying. Amen? And amens rang out through the whole building. Well, so here in the New Testament, sorry I got behind, it means to pay heed. Listen to how the New Living Translation translates this verse. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Now, that's not to say that we cannot become righteously indignant as Christ became righteously indignant when he went into the temple and cast out all of the market people that were selling the animals and all of that. But human anger does not produce the righteousness that God wants us to have. And so this morning I want us to think first about what's the difference between hearing and listening. Is there a difference between the two? Well, hearing motivates us to think about what's in it for us. You see, hearing involves gaining content or information that we use for our own purposes, whereas listening involves caring for and being empathetic toward the person who is talking. So again, hearing is all about me. It's all about what I need, whereas listening is all about the other person and the other person's feelings. So how often, men, do we listen to our spouse? Or how often are we just hearing them? Or how often are we not even hearing them? So this morning, we want to learn what it means and what it takes for us to be good listeners. What does it take, or what does it mean to listen to your spouse? Well, I think the first thing that we learn is that listening means that you're not thinking about what you're going to say when she stops talking. Anyone guilty? Mm-hmm. We had one brave soul raise their hand. And if she had not, I would have called her out on it. So, you know, I'm guilty. You know, my wife starts speaking, and immediately I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to respond? And, you know, part of that is wanting to be a good husband. I want to show her I was listening, so I've got to have a good response ready. Right? We're going to learn that that's really not what our ladies like us to do. Proverbs chapter 18 says this, the one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. We've got to listen first, and don't worry about what our response will be. And you know what? Let me pause right here, right now, because I just caught a glimpse of my wife behind Daniel's chair. And I just want to say, first and foremost, I don't have all this down. Okay? And so you don't need to go and ask my wife how poor I do at these things. Just take my word for it. I am a poor communicator and a poorer, if that's possible, listener. Okay? So let's learn these things together. So the second thing it means to listen to your spouse, it means that you're accepting what is being said without judging what is being said or how she or he is saying. You are accepting. Now, that doesn't mean that you agree with the content, okay? You can be accepting without being in agreement. There are many times I have conversations with people that I don't agree with what they're saying, but I must accept that this is what they believe and this is what they think, and I don't need to judge them for what they are saying. Nor do I need to judge them for how they are saying it, which we're going to learn in a bit, is the most difficult aspect, is not judging the way something is said. It means that you acknowledge and that you understand that what your spouse or that other person is saying is what they are feeling. And we cannot disregard their feelings. They're trying to express it to us. They may be doing a terrible job of expressing that to us, but they're trying. And so we've got to be open and receive that, accept what's being said. The third thing is that listening to our spouse means, it means being able to repeat what your spouse has said and express what he or what you think he or she was feeling at the time. Now, men, let's be honest. Don't we feel like we've accomplished something just when we can get the words back out that she said? Right? I mean, if my wife is talking to me and I can tell her the words that came out of her mouth, I feel like I have accomplished something. But notice what it says. Not just what was said, but also what he or she was thinking or feeling at the time. We've got to learn in listening, we've got to learn to look beyond what we hear, the words that we hear, and start seeing things as they see them. It means you're interested in what is being said, but it also means you're trying to see things from the other person's point of view. We must be quick to hear and slow to speak. Let us try to discover how other people are thinking as the words are coming out of their mouth. And you know, that concept of communication is important. And so the next thing I want you to think about is, what are the ways we communicate? And I think there are three components of communication. The first of these is the content. And then this is where we focus, right? It is the content. That's what's important. Let's get the message across. Let's pass it out there. You know, conversation is to communicate information. Amen? Well, that's not what women want in a conversation. And so what they're watching as we speak to them is the tone of our voice and the nonverbal communication. Now, I have a very big voice. I have a very low voice. And sometimes the tone of my voice comes across as harsh. Has anyone noticed? Never mind. And so as I'm giving content, I may be saying something that is very important, that is completely and totally focused on the needs of the other person. But the tone of my voice can destroy the message of that content. In the same way, nonverbal communication can destroy the message of the content. Now, nonverbal communication will include things like facial expressions, body posture, audible reactions. This is the one that really gets me at my house. When I hear that sigh from my children. Of course, my wife would never do that. But when I hear that nonverbal but yet audible reaction. Or it could be gestures or actions or whatever. These are all examples of nonverbal. For example, if a man were to do something like this, in all sincerity, he says, "Honey, I really love you." What's he communicating? Thank you. Nothing. He's communicating that the newspaper is more important to him than his wife. His words, his tone of voice were good. That nonverbal, he kind of blew it on that. What if a man comes in from work and he sits down on his couch and he's relaxing? He's tired. He's just wanting to relax after the day's work. And then comes his wife from the other room. "How was your day today?" What is she communicating? Now, in all reality, probably the wife is quite busy taking care of stuff because, folks, her day's not over. But what does it communicate to the spouse? I mean, we could go on and on. And just so you know, I don't take a newspaper. So I don't do those things to my wife. In fact, all of my illustrations this morning are not personal. And that was very, very strategic. Because I don't want any personal illustrations coming out today. When we're talking about communication, we said there are three different types of communication: the actual content, the tone of voice, and the nonverbal. Professionals will tell you that the actual content is only about 7% of the communication. The tone of voice is 38%, and the nonverbals are over half. Over half of what you're saying is not what you're saying. It's how you're acting. It's the look on your face. It's your posture. The communicator tends to remember what he says, right? If I'm communicating something to someone, I'm going to remember the content of what I say. But the listener remembers the nonverbal manner in which the message was delivered. So, folks, you might say something and be absolutely accurate that those were the words that came out of your mouth, but it may not be the message that was delivered to the listener. So, as we communicate, we've got to be careful. We've got to realize that it's not just what we're saying, but it's how we're saying it and the tone of voice we're saying it in. So, we're talking about listening today, you know, learning to listen. So, what are some of the reasons that we listen? Well, for me, I listen for facts. I listen for information. I want to know the details of something. That's the reason I listen. And if it goes beyond those things and into other areas, then that's when the buzz starts ringing in my ear and I tone out. Other people listen because they feel sorry for the person. Have you ever found yourself listening to someone just because, man, I feel sorry for them. Nobody will ever talk to them. You ever? Yeah, I've been there. Some people listen just to be polite. Some people listen to gossip because they love to hear the juicy details. And I'm not going to look at any of you at the moment. Another is that we listen because we care for the person. Now, we all like to say that's the reason that we listen, but sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And we listen out of necessity or obligation. This is Dan's standard operating procedure in staff meetings with me. Right, Dan? It is obligatory. He has to be there. He has to listen. And, yeah, it's true. You know it. Yeah. But we listen for lots of different reasons. Why do you listen? What is motivating you to listen to your spouse? What is motivating you to pay close attention, and not just to the words, but what she's trying to communicate or what he is trying to communicate? And are you a good listener? One of the things that I discovered about 6 years ago, and yes, I'm 42 years old, and it took me 36 years to figure this out, I discovered that I was a very poor listener. And so I started doing some study and trying to figure out some different ways to become a better listener. And I am still in that process of trying to become a better listener. But one of the things that is quite popular, you're probably familiar with it if you've been in any type of business training or whatever, is something that is called RASA. And this is a way to help you listen. And so I share this with you just briefly this morning. RASA stands for Receive, Appreciate, Summarize, and Ask Questions. Earlier we said if you're truly listening to your spouse, then you are going to accept not only what she says, but the fact that this is her belief, or his belief. This is how he feels, and so you're going to accept that. This is the idea of receiving. We must be receptive. We must be open for people to communicate how they feel to us. Receive. Appreciate. Have you ever been speaking to someone and just felt the disdain that they had for being stuck there with you? Yeah, thank you, Miss Peggy. I mean, I have. You know, it's just like, oh, I wish you would shut up. Right? If you want to be a good listener, you must appreciate not only the person who's speaking to you, but the things that they're saying. And yeah, sometimes that's hard. But you must receive it, appreciate it, and then summarize. And this is the thing that really helped me become a better listener. You see, it's not enough for me to just listen. I must speak back to them and tell them what I think I'm hearing them say. You know, they go on and on. I say, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is, and then I tell them what I understand. Oftentimes, they will say, that's not what I'm saying. And then we've got real communication going on. Because either how they were saying it or how I was receiving it, there was a mix-up somehow. And so by summarizing back to them what you've heard, it gives them an opportunity to clarify what they're really trying to say. Another way to do that is the last thing here, and that is ask questions. You remember the ball illustration we used last week, Dan and I playing catch up here on the stage? Apparently everybody thought that was kind of funny. So Roxanna even put just the clip of that section of the sermon on the website this week, so I was one of the viewers on that. A conversation is an exchange of ideas. When someone says something to you, and you're sitting there listening to them, trying to be that person who is quick to hear and slow to speak. Slow to speak is the key. It's not, don't ever speak. Ladies, what does it communicate to you if your husband says, well, I was being quiet because I was trying to listen? Men, you've got to speak. Be slow to speak. But you've got to speak. You've got to ask questions when they are finished. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Don't jump in there. So this is just a little bit, a little way that you can, you know, hopefully remember in your mind, receive, appreciate, summarize, and ask questions. Rasa. So if we want to become a good listener, what are some of the barriers to listening well? I think, first of all, our gender-specific listening styles. You know, it's no surprise that, you know, everybody understands that men and women are very different. And men, if you want to listen to your spouse well, you're going to have to realize the way they communicate as opposed to the way that we communicate. For example, in verbal responses, if you're having a conversation and during the conversation, what kind of verbal responses take place? Now, women will use more verbal responses to encourage the talker. So a woman sitting there listening, she said, Have you heard them do that? Ladies, you do that? Okay. Now, men, on the other hand, find that annoying. And so men will typically respond only when they actually agree with something. So their spouse says something, and the man's sitting there, and sitting there, and sitting there, and then all of a sudden, you're right. And they'll get in on that. Now, imagine the difficulty that comes when a man is communicating to his spouse, and the spouse is saying, yeah, And the man is thinking, awesome, she agrees with everything I'm saying. We can go buy that new car. You know? But also, ladies, realize that when a man is not responding, that does not mean that he doesn't care. It just means that he's being a man. What about comments? Now, verbal responses like mm-hmm and yeah, those aren't really comments. But when you're having a conversation, a man and a woman are having a conversation, men are more likely to make comments throughout the conversation, right? The lady is saying something, and then the man types in and gives his 2 cents worth. Amen? Right? Now, how does a woman take that when a man pipes in and gives his 2 cents worth? Well, women feel bothered by the interruption, and they feel like the husband is not listening to her because he keeps on interrupting and talking. And men, this is where we got to figure something out here. She wants us to respond, but not with full sentences. Okay? Now, I'm looking at some of you, and you're like, what? I don't understand. It's okay. I don't either. We just have to realize that communication style is different. And when misunderstandings arise, it's usually because we fail to realize these differences. Now, we could talk about these kind of differences all day. These are just a few examples of this. So, barriers to listening well, gender-specific listening styles. Secondly, we've got selective attention, just like our young man in the video who has spousal selective listening, or SSL. You know, this also might be known as filtered listening, or it could just be known as not caring, I guess. If we have a negative attitude, for whatever reason, maybe toward our spouse, or maybe it's totally some other situation that's going on, anytime we have a negative attitude, we have a tendency to ignore or to distort or reject positive messages. We're not hearing our spouse for what she's really saying. We're letting our filter select the bits and pieces that we're going to pay attention to, and then we're upset because of what she said, when she may not have actually said that. Often we hear what we want to hear, or whatever fits into our mindset at the time. Folks, we've got to be careful and realize what our mindset is, our attitude is, and be careful not to just pick and choose what we want to listen to. Another thing that is a barrier is defensiveness. Defensiveness. Now, indicators that you're being defensive would be premature conclusions. Your spouse is telling you something and immediately you draw a conclusion. Or it could be rehearsing responses. Like we talked about earlier, you cannot be formulating what you're going to say back to her while she's still talking. Or it could just be reacting to explosive words. Last year, I preached about zingers. Do y'all remember that? And how there are certain things that men or women can say to their spouse that is so much stronger than the actual words that are being said because they cut to the heart of the person. So we've got to be careful that we don't become defensive and hurt people with our words. Another is dealing with personal biases. You know, we may have a biased attitude toward a person who speaks in a particular tone. Oh, they're so condescending. Oh, they talk like a baby. Or, you know, whatever. We could have bias against them, and what they're trying to communicate then becomes filtered and we're not listening well. It could be because of a person of a particular ethnic group. It could be because of someone is the opposite sex of you. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who are still very, what's the word? Discriminatory. Sorry, sometimes my English fails me. You know, they still have ideals of discrimination, whether based on gender or based on ethnicity. These things will inhibit us from listening well. But you know what? Sometimes what will inhibit us from listening well is just a bias towards someone who annoys us. Amen? But we've got to learn to receive them and appreciate what they have to say. Now, these next two, I'll go ahead and bring them both up. I save these two for last because, frankly, they're my most difficult. The things that inhibit me from being a good listener. And that is a habit of interrupting and a need to fix everything. And so, rather than talking about my personal struggles in this, I have another video that I want to share with you that will help illustrate some of my personal struggles as I am trying to be a good listener.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out. We can work it out.
Just as a disclaimer, ladies, I don't in any way, shape, or form want to say that your problems that you come to us with are as obvious as this. But the fact is that his response is exactly the way we try to deal with our wives, isn't it, man? We want to give them solutions as to how to fix things. And all they really want you to do is to empathize and realize, you know, it's hard. It is hard. Just like him, I have a habit of interrupting, trying to fix things. But folks, a lot of times, it's not about the name. It's about showing, demonstrating your love to your spouse. Or wives, it's about demonstrating respect to your husbands. So how can we overcome these barriers to listening well? Well, the first thing is listen with your whole body. Posture makes a big difference. Looking people in the eyes when you're listening to them. And putting down the cell phones. Not allowing things in the home or the things in your life to distract you from listening. Listen with your whole body. Clarify If you are unsure of what they're saying, or even if you think you're sure of what they're saying, summarize what they said back to them and make sure that's what they were trying to communicate. Do not assume you understand. Clarify. Be an active listener. Remember the Rasa that I shared with you. Receive, appreciate, summarize, and ask questions. We've got to not pass judgment upon our spouses when we're talking with them. Do not become angry. Try to see things from their point of view. And if we're trying to look at it from their point of view, then hopefully, maybe, we won't be so judgmental as they're talking. And speaking of that, as they're talking, do not rehearse your responses while they are still trying to communicate to you. Oh, this is one of my hearts. Folks, we've got to just listen. And not expect the other person to have an immediate response. If you have an immediate response, that tells me you were not listening to what was being said. Right? And finally, we must focus. Focus our attention. Focus your time to listen well. Because the scripture tells us you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I don't know what God may be speaking to your heart today, but I do know that every married couple in here struggles with these areas. And so this morning, as we have a time of invitation, I want you to spend some time with God, confessing your sin of being quick to speak and slow to listen. And then I would challenge you to confess that to your spouse as well. And use this opportunity as a time for reconciliation between you and your loved ones. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for this time, and I thank you that you have allowed us to be here together this week. Father, I thank you for your admonition for us to listen more than we speak. And Father, I confess to you today that I am guilty of not listening well. So Father, I just pray that you'll help me in this adventure of family life to become a better listener. Help me to focus in on not just what's being said, but what's really being communicated. Lord, help me to respond lovingly. Father, I know that there are people here today whose marital relationships may be a little rocky at times. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll use these words in such a way to speak to their heart. Lord, help each one of us to take on the responsibility to be better listeners, Father, no matter how our spouse responds. Help us to become a better listener. Father, we pray in Jesus' name.